Home isn't just a place, it's a state of mind. Like curling up in a comfy chair while it's cold outside. With a warm drink, or maybe even a wine in hand. As you watch the world go by outside your window.
Mmm, short rib.
Good afternoon, this is your captain speaking.
Which is why at Delta, our people do our best to make you feel at home.
Refill?
Long before you get there. Delta, keep climbing.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 bacon bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the bacon cheese slider, 1921 bacon cheese slider, or chicken bacon ranch slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 bacon bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
By hook or by crook, Garrett Wilson has been able to get at least 17 fantasy points in 4 of the past 6 with Zach Wilson.
Firstly, great usage of by hook or by crook. That's the first one in a while. Me and Connor enjoyed that one.
Have you never heard that phrase?
No, I have. I've heard it plenty of times.
Right.
But yeah.
Just from old people?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Precisely. From the Joe Flaccos of the world.
Yeah. I'm older than Joe Flacco. What's going on here?
Oh, yeah, boy. Yeah. All right. Well, yeah. Javon Holland, just quickly.
The issue is you have a youthful appearance to you, Lawrence. I look
I
old as
Javon
dirt. The issue is it's like you and I might be the same age. I just look old as dirt. And you have a youthful appearance to you. It's very upsetting.
Fantasy Football Happy Hour with Matthew Berry, served by Applebee's.
Welcome to the Fantasy Football Happy Hour and a happy love hate day. I'm Connor Rogers alongside Matthew Berry and Jay Croucher. A lot of laughs yesterday.
Yeah, we always have a lot of fun, especially on Wednesdays. It's a little bit of a looser show. It is upsetting, though, because I get it. I'm not saying I'm young. I'm definitely not a young man. But I'm not as old as I look. I definitely look older than I actually am. No, and the truth, like you guys, we recently, the three of us and our better halves all went to dinner.
Sure.
And so you guys got to meet my wife for the first time.
Yes.
And so like my wife, when my wife and I are out in public, everyone's just like, oh, Barry, who's your daughter?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? She's older than me. My wife is 6 months older than me. And anyone that looks at the two of us can't believe that she, because my wife is a genetic freak of nature.
Yes.
Whereas I am whatever the opposite of that is.
Yes. You would set the line at 10 and a half years age difference.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
That Beth would be favored to be younger.
Yeah. Yep. Correct. And yep. You'd be wrong. But that's yep. What sucks. So, I mean, whatever. I look old. I've looked, by the way, I've looked old for like 15 years. I've looked the same age. Like, if you look at old photos of me, you're like, oh, you look old there, too.
Well, speaking of your look, are we ready to talk about this hoodie?
What are you,
Daniel
story.
Craig? What the hell is this?
All I know is when I went into my dressing room today, that's right, when I went into my dressing room this morning, Stephanie, who helps us out with wardrobe here.
You. Stephanie's phenomenal, but I decline for this. I just show up dressed.
You just show up dressed. Yeah. That's right. I need help. And Stephanie, God bless her, is gracious enough to help. And so, anyway, this was hanging in there, and I'm like, that looks cool, and so we wear it. Here's what's exciting. Here's what's exciting about this outfit, because it's kind of cool, and it's nothing I would ever wear
on my
own.
Very shiny zip.
There's a shiny zip. You want to put something in there? Here's what's exciting about this particular shirt. So I forgot. So I spent last night here in Stanford, because I always, Wednesday nights I spend in a hotel room. I write love hate all night. And so I forgot. And so tonight is the NBC Sports holiday party.
Yes.
Yes. And so as a result of that, and so that is one of the reasons why, by the way, people are wondering, like, hey, who drinks for free? Well, the answer is we do. We drink for free on the company dime. Literally, we do. The three of us and everyone here at the happy hour are going to get there 1 minute before it opens and stay up until it closes. Like, you know, it's an open bar. So, you know, like, let's get our money's worth here. You know, it's like free popcorn Wednesdays, except, you know, one night a year with booze. Anyway, so we all drink free. And so my point is that I forgot to pack something for the party tonight. I'm not going to be able to go home. I live like an hour and a half away from Stanford, Connecticut, where we shoot this every single day. So I'm wearing this to the holiday party tonight. Thank you, Stephanie.
Double dip.
Yeah, I'm double dipping. That's right.
Now you can go to the party looking like Daniel Craig in Quantum of Solace.
That's fine. He was a badass in that one.
Oh, boy.
It's a good sweatshirt.
It is good.
I can only make so many jokes.
It's too good.
Right? I'm actually annoyed.
Too good for the likes of me.
Yeah, I wanted to make fun of it. And I can't because I would wear something like that.
No, it's glorious. That's the problem.
I'm like Loki. A glorious purpose. All right.
Roto World Player News. Yeah, we'll do the player news first.
Oh, fine.
And then we'll get into the love-hate. Because there are...
To me, this is my first show.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, you missed the meeting. It happens, you know.
Literally.
Yeah, literally. I was writing.
I was writing. It was a long night.
Here are the notable injuries we're tracking going into Sunday's games here. Aaron Jones with the knee, limited practice. Christian Watson did not practice, as well as DJ Moore, Chris Olave, CJ Stroud still in concussion protocol. Devon Achane, we'll see if he's good to go. That is now a toe injury, so that is something new for Achane. No surprise Tyreek Hill was not able to log a practice with the ankle. That's one to watch all the way through the weekend up to kickoff against the Jets. Nico Collins didn't practice with that calf injury, and Pacheco with the shoulder. Brian Robinson coming out of the bye week, still dealing with the hamstring. He didn't practice.
To me, that's the ones that sort of show up here that you're kind of like, oh, Brian Robinson after a week off not practicing on Wednesday is a little concerning. That one is definitely something that, you know, sort of raises your eye. Pacheco not back on Wednesday after missing last week is a concern. Feels like, at least, you know, kind of reading the beat reporters, feels like Nico Collins, even though he missed on Wednesday, like that he's got a decent shot at playing this week. We'll see about Stroud. DJ Moore popping up with an ankle is a little bit of an eye raiser too, because that was not anything on my radar, at least.
Yep, Chris Olave as well, who just seems to have a different injury every single week at this point. I'm going to make a prediction, and the market disagrees with me on this right now. I think CJ Stroud's going to play.
Okay.
I just think you bet against NFL teams doing the responsible thing. And after the TJ Watt thing, teams just aren't incentivized to follow the spirit of the protocol. And this is such an important game for the Texans. And until there are changes in the offseason around this, like and D'Amico Ryans yesterday said he's feeling a bit better. We'll see how he goes this week. I think he's going to play.
I think you're probably right. He's definitely a tough kid. It's a magical season for Houston. Feels like if there's any way he can be out there, he certainly will as well. I'm not worried about Achane because it is always something, but it's a Wednesday. So, let's see if we get news over the next hour. And obviously we'll track that as we're going here. But to me, in terms of injuries we're tracking, this isn't the biggest one.
No, these are the Saturday game injuries, so we're running out of time on these. Justin Jefferson, he was limited, which is a good sign. Jamar Chase with the ankle, he was limited as well. Tyler Boyd with the foot and ankle, limited. Josh Reynolds with the back injury, all limited. I have a feeling those guys will be able to go, but where it gets more dicey, Alexander Mattison with that ankle injury that looks somewhat serious. It could be a Ty Chandler day for the Vikings. Deontay Johnson with the knee. He didn't practice Jonathan Taylor. No surprise with the thumb. Despite what Jim Irsay says about injuries, he did not practice. Samaje Perine with the knee did not practice.
Yeah, Deontay Johnson's a little bit concerning given that it's a Saturday game and the offense is already bad in Pittsburgh. So, I mean, you might not just, you know, it could be all the George Pickens. We'll track that as well. But I think the biggest news that came out of and Justin Jefferson has said he's going to play, even though he didn't practice, right? You know, I'm sorry.
So is Jamar Chase.
Yeah, so is Jamar.
So those guys will go.
Those guys will go. I think it's a Ty Chandler day, regardless of whether Madison's active or not. That would be Vikings running back I want. But to me, I thought the biggest news that came out of yesterday, in terms of injuries and who might play and not play, is in tonight's game.
Yeah, let's pull up Thursday Night Football's injuries because Keenan Allen is officially out with the heel injury. This is going to be a very thin Chargers offense. The good news, it seems like Josh Palmer, who's been activated off the IR, will go with that knee injury. He's missed quite a bit of time here, but he should be back. Josh Jacobs with the quad is questionable. Devontae Adams, it sounds like he's going to play. He was dealing with an illness, so it's a matter of how much he can do. But the bottom line is, guys, this Thursday Night Football game, which is expected to be Easton Stick against Aiden O'Connell, despite some questions around who will start for the Raiders, is missing a ton of key contributors in this one, Jay.
Yep, and Keenan Allen being out, which is a little bit surprising. I know that he hadn't been practicing, but still the thought was he was probably just going to go. Him being out is huge in terms of repercussions for this offense.
See, I don't think it's that surprising, and I feel like maybe I was just saying this to friends, but I feel like I brought this up on Monday's show, which is like there's no motivation.
Yeah.
Once it was declared that Justin Herbert was being shut down for the year, so maybe this is Monday or Tuesday show, but once it was declared that Justin Herbert was out for the year, there's no motivation for Keenan Allen, who, what's Keenan Allen, 34 now, 33, 34?
I think he's 32, 33. Yeah. So, I mean, what, right in that
I'll look it up, fellas.
Okay, thank you. You look that up. Well, I just tell you that, like, if you're Keenan Allen and you're the Chargers, turns out he's 31, but, you know, he looks 34. He's a similar.
You got to get him one of those sweatshirts.
Exactly. Look cool.
Look 28 again.
I'm going to send this to him when I'm done. No, real talk for a second. Like, again, he's a wide receiver who has dealt with injuries throughout his career, who's on the wrong side of 30 in a lost season for the Chargers. They're not going to the playoffs. They've just lost their franchise quarterback for the season. Keenan Allen's such a big part of this offense. Why would you risk more wear and tear on his body in meaningless games? This makes again, they haven't declared Keenan Allen out for the year. They've just said he's not going to play tonight against the Raiders. But I'm just telling you, using logic, basic logic, if you were the Chargers, if you were Keenan Allen, if you represented Keenan Allen, if you were Keenan Allen's parents, wouldn't you be like, yo, shut it down. Like, sit down. Like, there's no... So, you know, it's disappointing as we head into the Fantasy Plus for everyone that's had Keenan Allen because he's such a fantasy superstar. But, like... this makes too much sense. I don't understand why, if you're them, why you would play him.
I agree with that, but the only thing would be that logic doesn't necessarily apply to Brandon Staley all the time. He played Justin Herbert and Mike Williams in a meaningless Week 18 game last year, and Mike Williams got hurt and missed the playoffs. So
right.
Staley's coaching for his job, so I'm not sure. Maybe they'll bring back Keenan Allen later on. But this is a glorious game, gentlemen. It's a glorious game because you can bet on it. And we'll get deeper into it in our final segment, but... just one thing I wanted to raise is that when there is chaos in a game like this, it creates opportunity. On DraftKings, if you add up the receiving yards props for Austin Ekeler, Josh Palmer, Quentin Johnson, Gerald Everett, gets you to 120 yards. Easton Stick's passing prop is 190. So it's like the market just has no idea what to do with how you could distribute all this stuff. And so we'll get into that, but I think there are some ways to take advantage.
I think and certainly fantasy-wise, I think, look, ideally, this is a game that you're probably avoiding. It's a low total as well. But to the extent you may not have the choice, you might be desperate. So Josh Palmer, we expect him to go. You saw he's officially listed as questionable. We expect him to go. Each of his last four healthy games, he got at least 7 targets. Quentin Johnson has now had back-to-back games with double-digit fantasy points, including a career-high 91 receiving yards last week. And Gerald Everett now has 4 more receptions in 3 straight games. You'll see some Donald Parham as well. It's interesting. I think Austin Eckler's receiving prop was 2.5 receptions. It's now up to 4.5. So obviously they expect a lot of dump-offs for Austin Eckler. Should be a big day for number 30. He'll be busy. They may go more run-heavy. You see some Josh Kelly and Eckler in there as well. There is chaos here. But I think that Quentin Johnson and Josh Palmer are the only two that I feel comfortable starting. Everett's a touchdown-dependent tight end, you know, high-end tight end two, low-end tight end one. But the other two wide receivers, like, again, they're like wide receiver fours where you're hoping for something. Ideally, you're not starting any Charger other than Eckler, but if you're desperate, those are guys that could be viable.
And with that, let's jump into love-hate, what kept Matthew up all night and into the morning. We start with the running backs, and we start with Kyren Williams, the volume king. What a year it's been for Kyren Williams. And Matthew, quite simply, he has your Commanders on deck in week 15.
Yeah, you love that unless you're a fan of the team like I am. Look, love-hate is all about exceeding expectations. And I know a lot of people like start Kyren Williams against the Commanders. Thanks, Barry. Thanks, Captain Obvious. He's on the love list because he's my number 2 running back this week, right? Only Chris McCaffrey comes in higher in my ranks. This is somebody that in the 3 games since he was returning, averaging basically 25 touches a game. He's got a 15% target share. He's had 12 different touches in those 3 games, 12 different touches in goal-to-go situations. And over the last 4 weeks, my Commanders allow 33.7 fantasy points per game to opposing running backs. That is the most in the National Football League.
I think the thing with Kyren Williams, too, is that it's not just anymore just about the volume. He's just an elite, awesome running back. I think he's a top 10 running back in the league on talent. And a lot of his numbers have been propped up by just eviscerating the Cardinals twice. But now he did it against the Ravens. He lit up the Ravens, and he's at 5.0 yards per carry on the season. He's just a superstar.
Yeah, and I think it's nice that, you know, kind of something you hinted at there, Matthew, is he's a goal line back. He's effectively, for a smaller guy, they don't pivot to somebody else. They don't have a running quarterback, so it's all there for Kyren Williams. Our next one.
He's kind of Connor Rogers-esque.
Yeah, you keep him on the desk even, you know.
Yeah, smaller guy, but we don't pivot to somebody else. No. Like, we keep you in all situations.
I can handle the workload.
You can indeed.
Yes.
Like, a lot of people, like, should we bring you in for somebody else in for the third segment? No. He can close it out. That's absolutely right.
Yesterday, Sim's show, I walked right to the studio and did this show.
There you go.
Workhorse back.
Yeah. Workhorse
30
back.
Touches.
Yeah. 30 touches. I mean, absolutely.
We don't bring Ahmed Farid in for
segment three. No. He literally don't.
100%. And Sims goes long.
Like, oh, we did 2 hours.
Did you? I bet.
Yeah, we did 2 hours.
Yeah, Sims can just talk and talk and talk.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So. We were rocking. I had about 3 hours of football talk straight yesterday here at MBC.
Look at that.
No water.
Yeah, he's not.
No bathroom break.
It's unbelievable. You're
that's
a workhorse.
That's why you got the electrolyte drink
that's
here.
It, yeah, that's
you're,
it.
Yeah. You're a machine.
That's it.
Yeah, you're a young Kyren Williams out there.
All right. Bijan Robinson up next. Another running back that makes the top five here, Barry. It's like Arthur Smith remembered he drafted Bijan Robinson with a top 10 pick, and he's got the Panthers. I feel like every running back that's had the Panthers this year shows up in some capacity on the love list.
Now, Arthur Smith getting cute in the fantasy playoffs against the Panthers would be the most Arthur Smith thing ever. But yes, I'm a believer in Arthur Smith at least getting out of his own way and giving the ball to number seven, a guy that was drafted high and rightfully so. The early season, like, what are you doing, has been corrected. Over the last four games, he's averaging almost 20 touches per game. This is Bijan Robinson, of course. He's playing 73% of the snaps. We like that as well. Running backs who see, get this, at least 15 touches against the Carolina Panthers are averaging over 20 fantasy points per game. And to your point, Connor, 11 of the 12 running backs that have seen at least 15 touches against the Carolina Panthers have scored a touchdown. So Bijan Robinson is my fifth number five running back. He's a top five play for me this week on the road at Carolina. This is an important game for the Falcons.
Yeah, and I think the key is just that the Panthers have by far the worst run defense in the NFL. And they actually have an above average pass defense. And so if Arthur Smith ever needed an excuse to run the ball, it's this weekend. So after what Desmond Ridder has shown with his inconsistency, you would expect them to lean on the run.
Our next one, Jay, Ezekiel Elliott comes in as RB8 for Matthew. We saw Zeke finish his RB1 last week with a huge Thursday Night Football performance. And not only did Zeke look good on the ground, Jay, but Bailey Zappe will check it down to him over and over again in the flats.
I think that's the key. And it's not so much the rushing, where he didn't really do much on the ground despite the 22 carries against Pittsburgh. It was the fact he had 8 targets and 7 receptions. The week before against the Chargers, 5 targets and 4 receptions. So I think that particularly in PPR leagues, Zeke is just a monster in this offense at the moment.
Yeah, in the year of our Lord 2023, Ezekiel Elliott is a top 10 fantasy running back as we head into the fantasy playoffs. You mentioned no Ramondre Stevenson. He should get a ton of work. He literally, as you see it there, he played 91% of the snaps and no other running back touched the ball. 100% of the running back touches for the Patriots last Thursday went to Ezekiel Elliott. We don't expect Ramondre to play again. It should be another massive workload for Zeke against the Chiefs, I should say. Two of the last three running backs that faced Kansas City had over 100 yards from scrimmage. So just volume gets you there with Zeke, especially, by the way, he's being used in the passing attack. Like, this is something that we haven't seen a lot of this year, but Bailey Zappe wasn't scared to involve him. They also had a lot of injuries on the wide receiver front. You know, no Demario Douglas or Devontae Parker last week. We'll see about the statuses of them. But even if both guys go this weekend, dumping off, you know, especially when you got Chris Jones bearing out on you, dumping off to Zeke makes a lot of sense.
The other thing, too, is that you might think, oh, going up against Bailey Zappe against Patrick Mahomes, game script will just destroy them in terms of being able to run the ball. Line's only 7.5.
Yeah.
Which makes me feel like America has failed. The fact that Patrick Mahomes is in such a state where he's only a 7.5-point favorite over Bailey Zappe.
America hasn't failed. I will tell you who has actually failed in all seriousness. The front office of the Kansas City Chiefs.
It's Brett Veach.
Yeah. You've got literally a generational quarterback.
Yep.
And, you know, at some point, like, the, you know, roosters come home and roost or whatever. Pick your cliche. But, I mean, like, you know, you can't keep getting away with this. Like, hey, these, you know, these kind of generic guys out there. Like, you know, you guys counted on Kadarius Toney. That was a mistake. You know, you counted on MVS. That was a mistake. That was ignoring all the existing tape on either guy. Hindsight's easy to 2020, and we all like but, you know, they expected Sky Moore to develop, and he hasn't. And just there's only so much Travis Kelce. It feels like they hit on something with Rashee Rice. But other than that, like, there's not enough depth for literally the best quarterback on the planet.
Yep. Little fun game to play while you're watching Chiefs games. Just look at how often Patrick Mahomes has to tell his receivers where to line up because they're in the wrong spot. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, and he forgot to tell Kadarius Toney where to line up, and that cost him the game.
So. Yeah, they did. And I don't know if you, like, go just watch. I'm sorry, we'll get off. But I'll just say this. Go watch. Dan Orlovsky did a video. It's like on YouTube over there at ESPN. He did a whole thing where he broke down. He noticed that Kadarius Toney had actually lined up offsides multiple times throughout the game. And so there's a couple different ways to look at that, which is number one is like they didn't call it any of the other previous times. So he sort of thought about that. But there's also like Kadarius Toney. Like it's not like it was like.
Why are you doing this?
At some point, like coaches need to notice that and say like, you know, hey,
yeah.
Get back. You
know? Right.
And like. And have you seen any of the memes of like, look, and just people have taken Kadarius Toney and like placed him,
yes.
like you know, like
yeah, 15 yards
like,
outside,
yeah, right, like literally in between the linebackers on the other side. It's
good content.
The internet remains undefeated.
Some others receiving votes from the running backs: Raheem Mostert comes in as RB 13 against the Jets. Derrick Henry against Houston, and it's weird. The Titans will be wearing Oilers uniforms against Houston in this game. He comes in as a top 20 play. DeAndre Swift against the Seahawks, RB 20. Ty Chandler, if Alexander Mattison is out, and we are leaning towards that he might be. Jerome Ford against the Bears, RB 32 there, Matthew.
Yeah, I'll go just backwards to forwards in terms of Ford. He's had five targets or more in three of the past four games. No team in the NFL allows more receiving yards to running backs than the Chicago Bears. We like Chandler, as we talked about here. I think Swift gets back on track against Seattle, as they've allowed over 135 rushing yards to running backs in three straight. Death taxes start Derrick Henry against the Texans. He literally has over 1,000 yards combined in his last five against the Texans, including 10 touchdowns. He averages 33 fantasy points per game against the Texans. And Raheem must start, especially if Achane is going to be. He had two touchdowns the last time he faced the Jets. He should get another heavy workload this weekend.
Jay, anyone from that list that jumps out to you?
Yeah, I think Raheem Mostert, just with the Jets and how dominant they've been as a pass defense, and the fact that the Dolphins, their offensive line, too, is going to have to be throwing the ball very quickly. Yeah. And the Jets, I mean, the Dolphins did have some success running the ball against them last time, and particularly if Achane is out, then Mostert becomes a monster.
We move over to the hate list, which is headlined basically by Kansas City's backfield right here. Isaiah Pacheco or Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I think the crux of this, Matthew, is whatever Chiefs running back is healthy and starting against the Patriots, avoid.
Yeah, correct. They're on the road at New England, and over the last 4 weeks, the Patriots allowing just 11.3 fantasy points per game to opposing running backs. That is the lowest in the NFL. They also allow 42 rushing yards and 2.4 yards per carry to running backs. That is also lowest in the NFL. They have a really good run defense. No running back in the last 4 weeks has scored more than 8 fantasy points against the Patriots. And you're like, oh, well, who'd they face? How about Austin Eckler or Saquon Barkley? Your boy Najee Harris, Jay, and Jaylen Warren. None of them was able to even get to double-digit fantasy points. None of them were even able to get to 9 fantasy points against the Patriots. So whether it is a not 100% healthy Isaiah Pacheco or CEH, who has been inconsistent during his career and be splitting time with Jerick McKinnon, whoever one of those starting running backs are, splitting time with the passing down back McKinnon, makes the hate list.
Patriots have the best run defense in the NFL right now. And so Patrick Mahomes, his passing yards probably set at 248.5 on DraftKings. I think that might be 50 yards too low, to be honest. This is the ultimate pass funnel defense. And with how their running backs have struggled, I think Mahomes, he will be throwing a lot.
How about Kenneth Walker here, Jay? He's just not getting the snap count that you would hope from an RB1. I'm sure it has to do with the fact he's been banged up this year, and the Eagles have been able to limit running backs on the ground.
Yep, and it's a tough matchup here with the Eagles. They have a strong run defense. Their corners have struggled all year, and with Metcalf, Lockett, JSN, you expect that Seattle will be throwing. Zach Charbonnet out-carried Kenneth Walker. Now, the positive for Kenneth Walker is he had 5 targets in the passing game. Charbonnet only had 1, and they are dogs in this game, so you'd expect them potentially to be trailing. But you just cannot feel good about a team that is an underdog with a guy who is in a 50-50 timeshare.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough matchup against Philly as well. Literally, this entire year, there have only been 2 running backs that have more than 60 rushing yards against the Eagles as well. He's had 12 or fewer touches in 3 of his last 4 healthy games. To your point, he's splitting time with Charbonnet. They're underdogs. The way you attack Philadelphia is through the air. We do kind of like Geno in this one. I like DK Metcalf as a top 10 play this week. But again, with Kenneth Walker, you're hoping for one big play, and he's got that ability. But other than that, I don't know. Like, he's outside my top 20 this week.
Our last one here, Matthew, Javonte Williams. People might see Detroit and think, okay, I like that. But the reality is Detroit is so bad against the pass that running backs haven't had massive days against their front this year.
Yeah, over the last 4 weeks, Detroit's allowing just 3.3 yards per carry. In fact, no running back has rushed for more than 51 yards against Detroit. and they allow the fourth fewest fantasy points to opposing running backs. If there's one positive here for Javonte Williams, the usage has really been there. It's really nice usage for Javonte Williams. I think he's got a shot at a touchdown. So he's a borderline top 20 play, but this is a tough matchup, so he makes the hate list because, again, I'm lowering expectations. I would still probably... I have Javonte Williams in a couple leagues. I'm starting him in those leagues, but I would lower expectations for Javonte Williams. He's just outside my top 20 this week.
Yep, and also Detroit, their weakness is in the secondary. That's where they've been exploited time and time again, so you'd expect that Russ will be throwing.
This holiday season, get the fantasy fan in your life, the exclusive Roto-World Draft Guide bundle featuring expert analytics, player insights, and season-long tools. Get all three of the draft guides for one low price. Go to nbcsports.com/holidaybundle and use code HOLIDAY23 at checkout to receive 25% off and a $10 Fanatics gift card. We're going to break. When we're back, we'll be back with love-hate going forward with the pass catchers and quarterbacks.
Having a team feels like having your own live-in influencer. Somehow you know the latest makeup trend and the fact that skinny jeans are not the most flattering pants. Now it's time for you to show them what's up, thanks to Domino's. From April 22nd through April 28th, carry out as many large two-topping pizzas from Domino's as you want for only $6.99 each. And teach your kiddo that saving money and Domino's pizza will never go out of style. Carry out only. You must ask for this limited-time offer. Valid 4/22 through 4/28. Tax may apply. Prices, participation, and charges may vary.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn on what you want, like trying out that new workout class, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like a foam roller for your sore muscles. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
Heads up, we have a special edition of Fantasy Football Pregame on Saturday, December 23rd, live from 1 to 3. Barry, Jay, and Lawrence will be previewing the Christmas weekend slate leading into Football Night in America. Tweet us as always using the hashtag FFPregame.
So Saturday, December 23rd, 1 to 3, we have a show. I should really read my emails.
I should as well. I was unaware of this until yesterday when we ran the promo. Then I became aware. You weren't paying attention to that one, but now you've got it.
Sounds like a couple of personal problems.
It's Betty White. Betty White. Betty White.
Love, hate, pass catchers. That was Cooper Kupp, who loves himself some Betty White, apparently, and we love
because
ourselves.
Because he's an American. All Americans love Betty White.
We love ourselves some Cooper Kupp. Going back to the well here, Matthew, Cooper Kupp is playing against who?
My Commanders. Yes. My little Cooper Kupp. Who do I love more, my Commanders or my little Cooper Kupp? The answer is it's still my Commanders. But this week, give me my little Cooper Kupp, who comes in at wide receiver 6 for me. Over the last 4 weeks, no team in the NFL has allowed more yards per game to wide receivers. Oh, you need more bad stats about the Commanders? I got more bad stats for you. They also allow the second most fantasy points per game to wide receivers. And in their last two games, they've allowed 4 different touchdowns to the slot. Just 4 touchdowns in 2 games. Seriously, pick a stat, any stat. I've got a bad stat for every situation for my Commanders. All this adds up to start your Rams this weekend against my Commanders.
Yeah. I think there was a lot of concern about Cooper Kupp coming into last week because he'd been so poor for so long. But I think there were some mitigating causes. He was dealing with an injury. He had Brett Rippon for a stretch. He played the Cleveland defense. That second Arizona game, they just ran the ball all game. But the key is that he showed against Baltimore is that physically he's 100%. He's still got the same connection with Stafford. And even with Puka getting a ton of targets as well, he showed that he can still resemble the guy from 2021.
Our next one here, JDK Metcalf against that Eagles secondary. We know how much they've struggled. And we know what DK can do, not just in the red zone, but in between the 20s.
Yeah, it's a strange thing the way the Eagles secondary has struggled all season, because most of the names are the same, and they've added Kevin Byard. But I think the key is just that Darius Slay's gotten a bit worse. James Bradbury's gotten a bit worse. Bradley Roby struggled in the slot.
No slot at all. Yeah.
They just, and DK, they'll move him around. And I think that the Eagles, they just haven't shown any ability whatsoever to stop the pass all season. Even your boy Sam Howell lit them up twice. And so I think that whether it's Geno or Drew Lock, I think that they will have success through the air.
By the way, you take that even out of your mouth. Even Sam Howell. Stop it. Sam Howell is good.
He was excellent the second
game. Very reluctant.
Until he
credit
of,
to Sam Howell.
Kind of gacked the last couple of throws.
No, he's out there by himself. He's got no one blocking for him, for the love of God. He's like a young Zach Wilson. The fact is that DK Metcalf.
He might be older.
With the old Zach Wilson. Yeah, that's fair enough. Whatever. The Jets have a bad offensive line, was the point of that joke. Here's the point of this statement. The Eagles have allowed at least 16 fantasy points to a wide receiver in every single game this year. Every single game. They've allowed multiple touchdowns to wide receivers in five of the last six. And so Metcalf, who is top three in end zone targets this year, whether it's Geno Smith or Drew Lock throwing him the ball, I like DK's chances of getting a touchdown, and I'm as a top 10 play in week 15.
He comes in as wide receiver 10. At wide receiver 11 is our next pass catcher in Brandon Ayuk here, Matthew, against Arizona. Mm-hmm. I mean, what more needs to be said between the Arizona defense, what Ayuk can do in this offense with a surging Brock Purdy right now. Ayuk is a near loveless candidate almost every week, it feels like.
Yeah, especially because Brock Purdy, your true MVP, the guy who should be the MVP. I put that out on Twitter, and like people went like yesterday because somebody was giving some like Brock Purdy propaganda.
Yeah.
And I said, I'm here for all of it. And, you know, people just go crazy.
They get upset.
They get very upset.
They
hate Brock Purdy.
Yeah.
He's very polarizing as well. It's insane. All the stats sit there and say, like, this is the guy who should be the MVP, especially, by the way, given how well he throws the deep ball.
Yeah.
He really does. He's not a game manager at all. It's not dink and dunk stuff. If you look at his yards per attempt, his average depth of target, all of that stuff, his air yards, like, he is chucking it deep. And why does that matter for Brandon Ayuk? 40% of his targets this year have now come on deep passes. He's got the third most yards on deep passes this season. Arizona allows a 61% catch rate on deep passes so far this year. That is the most in the NFL. No team in the NFL gives it up longer, deeper than the Arizona Cardinals. You heard me, America. That's right. Brandon Ayuk is a top 12 play for me.
I think the key here, too, is that when the Niners played the Cardinals last time, Brock Purdy had one incomplete pass. Just one. He went 20-21. Yeah. He was basically through perfect game. He still had a PFF grade of under 80, which I don't understand when you only there's only one incomplete pass. They don't like him so much.
Yeah,
he should have a monster game.
6 for 148 last time he faced the Cardinals.
That's good.
That is good. That is good. That would be helpful in your fantasy playoffs.
Our next one here, our first tight end, Sam Laporta against the Broncos. He's a top five tight end this week for Barry here, Jay, and the Broncos right now struggling against tight ends, especially in the fantasy front.
They are, and Laporta's just, he's established himself as a clear top five guy every single week. Jared Goff has struggled lately, and that would be the concern. Also, the concern would be that the Broncos have a terrible run defense, and Detroit presumably will lean on the run. But the strength of the Broncos' pass defense is certainly on the outside. So if there is a pass catcher who should go off, it should be Sam Laporta.
I completely agree. Tight ends that have seen at least five targets against the Broncos are averaging over 15 fantasy points per game. And to your point about their struggles against the position, they're bottom third in the NFL. Bottom three in the NFL in terms of most receptions, yards, and fantasy points allowed to opposing tight ends. Sam Laporta should be good.
Oh, there it is.
It's shocking.
I was trying to think of something that rhymed with Porta.
Yes, you couldn't get there.
And I couldn't get there.
Yeah, that's
all right. Lasorda good.
Yeah, not good
either. No, not there yet either.
Nope.
I'm going to workshop it. Yeah. Let me bring it back to you.
Maybe next year, summer, when we're doing
We'll talk about Sam Laporta again this season.
I think Sam Laporta's name will come up. But I like Sam LaGood.
Yeah, I don't like it very much.
A couple other receiving votes. Cortland Sutton.
I'm punch drunk. I'm on 3 hours of sleep.
Sometimes these are our best shows throughout the week. Cortland Sutton against that Lions secondary comes in as wide receiver 25. Odell Beckham, who looks like vintage Odell Beckham against Jacksonville here, wide receiver 26, followed by Jaden Reed, wide receiver 29. Josh Downs against the Steelers, wide receiver 38. Dallas Goedert makes it as a top 10 tight end 9 against the Seahawks. And then Isaiah Likely there, Matthew, as tight end 10 against Jacksonville. 13 targets over the last two games.
Yeah, Goedert and Likely both top 10 options at the position. Goedert, facing Seattle. They've allowed at least 75 receiving yards and a touchdown to a tight end in back-to-back games. Goddard is back, getting a lot of work. And Isaiah Likely, as you mentioned, he's gotten 13 targets the last 2 weeks. 11 of them come from the slot. That's important because the Jags have allowed a touchdown to the slot in three of the last four. You see Jaden Reed on your list there, who continues to get multiple rushing attempts and a 26% target share in two of the last three games. We've talked about OBJ on this show a lot. He looks spry. He looks fast. They're targeting him. And over the last 4 weeks, the Jags allowed the second most yards per game to opposing wide receivers. Since week 10, Detroit has allowed the second most touchdowns to wide receivers, and that's just normal wide receivers who have to use both hands to catch the ball. Now here comes Cortland Sutton, who only needs, like, it seems like, three fingers. I'm also playing against Sutton in a playoff game, so you know he's going off. Sutton's going to have just a monster game. Steelers, top five in the NFL in terms of most yards allowed to the slot, which is why we kind of like Josh Downs on Sunday.
Yes, Josh Downs, he's going to have a 120-yard game at some point. He is, outside of Michael Pittman, he's the most talented guy on that offense. Isaiah Likely is interesting to me. So statistically, the Jags have the number 13 defense in the NFL. I think that is fraudulent. I do not think they're an above-average defense. They got completely lit up by Jake Browning. Whenever they've played good offenses, they got completely destroyed by San Francisco. To be fair, they destroy everyone. And Joe Flacco just put up 31 against them. So I think that Lamar is going to ball out, and Isaiah Likely will be a beneficiary.
Yeah, that'll be fun to watch. Right here on NBC and Peacock, I'm a company man.
Yeah.
Quite a few busted coverages for Flacco, too. And that's a bad sign of lack of communication with Jacksonville. And Njoku was wide open on one of those touchdowns.
Yep. Yep. No, I think they're struggling at the moment. They're also just banged up on both sides of the ball. They got no offensive linemen. Like, it's a complete mess.
Yeah.
All right, we'll move over to the hate list. Couple names here. Calvin Ridley against the Ravens. When you look at Ridley's last 2 weeks, Matthew, it's been a tough go of it overall. He comes in as wide receiver 31 for you.
Yeah, it's been inconsistent, honestly, this entire season. And, you know, what they're doing with Ridley is they're throwing it deep. They're really chucking it deep. They're not giving him the short or intermediate stuff. It's really using him on deep routes. And so the reason that's a concern is that on deep passes this season, the Ravens have allowed the second fewest yards. They've allowed only four touchdowns to perimeter wide receivers in the NFL as well. That's the fourth fewest as well. So Ridley outside my top 30. I think this is an important game for the Ravens. The Ravens have a real shot at the number one seed in the AFC in the playoffs and making everyone, the road to the Super Bowl, making it go through Baltimore. I think the Ravens would like that very much. So I think this is an important game for them.
Yep. Kyle Hamilton looks like he may play as well after some injury concern there. Ravens just having a monster pass defense. They have the number two pass defense in the NFL after Cleveland. The run defense has struggled a little bit. And Ridley, like, he will get the volume. But last week he had 13 targets and they could only turn it into four catches.
Yeah, and you figure, like, there'll be some Evan Ingram as well, Trevor Lawrence. You know, he's out there gutting it out, but he's probably not as mobile as he normally would be. And so, is given the Ravens' pass rush, is he going to be able to let plays develop? Is he going to be able to scramble enough to keep plays alive? You're going to need a touchdown from Calvin Ridley this week, which could always happen, but don't love it.
While he's getting the targets, our next guy, Jay, and T. Higgins is really not. And Brian Flores' Minnesota defense, they've been able to figure it out with blitzing the quarterback. It's going to be a big test for Jake Browning, and that could impact T.
Yeah, fascinating game for Jake Browning because he's lit up two suspect defenses in Jacksonville and the Colts. He was terrible against the Steelers, Jake Browning, and we all thought that, all right, that's their season over. He's been awesome the past 2 weeks. This week, I think we find out if it's real or not because the Vikings somehow, I have no idea how, they have the number five defense in the NFL. Brian Flores is just a genius, it appears. And so now, going up against a real defense that's going to throw exotic blitzes at him and zone coverages, this will be difficult for Browning. But regardless, T. Higgins, it just hasn't really happened for him since he's come back from the injury.
You remember week four? Remember week four of the NFL season?
Not really.
Well, let me tell you. You know what happened in week four? I'm going to tell you. That was when T. Higgins got an end zone target. He hasn't seen one since.
Man.
Week four, the last time T. Higgins got a target in the end zone as well. No, obviously he's missed some time, but still, to your point about the Vikings defense, last 4 weeks, they allow the sixth fewest fantasy points to opposing wide receivers. Higgins has been inconsistent all year long as well, so he's wide receiver 37 for me in this one.
Our final pass catcher, Hollywood Brown, against the 49ers. Matthew, since Kyler Murray has been back, it has not been working for Hollywood Brown.
It is shocking to me because he is somebody that was getting a massive target share with Josh Dobbs, with Clayton Tune, whatever, and we're like, oh, and here comes Kyler Murray. You know, full steam ahead for Hollywood Brown, and that has not been the case. In fact, with Kyler Murray under center, Marquise Brown is wide receiver 80 on a points per game basis. Like, there are 79 wide receivers that would have been better for you to start in fantasy football, 79, than Hollywood Brown over the last few games since Kyler Murray returned. He's averaging just 5.5 yards per carry. He's got 30 or fewer receiving yards in 3 out of 4 games with Kyler Murray under center this season. Oh, and now you got to face the Niners, who allow, of course, the fifth fewest yards per reception to wide receivers. Hollywood Brown is wide receiver 40 for me this week, which is crazy given his talent and the fact that we like Kyler Murray, and game script should be in their favor. But just there's literally nothing to suggest this is going to be a good game. And it's the playoffs. I don't want to get cute. There's nothing right. that suggests you can risk Kyler Marquise Brown this week.
Yeah, and the other thing, too, is that he didn't practice yesterday coming off the bye. He left early with an injury in Week 13. I know Matthew loves to put guys on the hate list who aren't going to play football that given week. One of your strong suits.
Yeah, just because it's fish in a barrel doesn't mean you don't shoot it.
So, look, I think he's probably going to play. Gannon said that he would likely get into practice this week. But, yeah, to your point, even if he does, is he going to be 100%? Probably not if he didn't practice yesterday. And even if he is, there's nothing to suggest that he is going to be the weapon that we thought he would be.
Yeah, listen, there's nothing wrong with occasionally taking a layup. You know what I mean? Like, I know you like to just, James Harden it and, like, just, you know, jump back and
back.
Try to jack up threes. But every once in a while, it's not bad to, you know, take a layup, take the points.
My favorite one ever was when you put Deshaun Watson on the hate list, basically right after the report had come out that he probably wasn't going to play that weekend. It was genius. And he didn't play. He scored 0 points that weekend.
That's so I was right.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I was right, is what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah, exactly right.
That's right.
Avoid Deshaun Watson.
Just a little behind the scenes here, a little curtain
raising
as well.
A
little bit of how the sausage is made is the fact is, and you guys probably don't care, but Jay's going to be crap, so I'm going to make you guys listen to it. So this is Jay's fault, is that there are a lot of tentacles, if you will, to love-hate. There's digital assets. There's a lot of different things that go into, quote-unquote, love-hate. And so as a result, we come up with the names. My producer and I, we meet up and we come up with the names for Love Hate on Tuesdays. And it's written Wednesday during the day. So in essence, like, there's a lot of times where that does happen where, you know, the practice report comes out on Wednesday and I've got a guy on there and there's just nothing because the train has already left the station because, again, it has to come out on Thursday, so it has to be written on Wednesday and it has to be decided on Tuesday so that other assets and graphics and pictures can be pulled and it's a whole thing, and it's boring, and it's one of the reasons why I want to quit writing it. But I'm chained to it.
The show must go on.
I've been trying to quit it for 6 years, and it won't. I'm stuck with it till the day I die. Apparently.
By the way, the report that Marquise Brown didn't practice yesterday, it was from a writer at GoPhoenix.com. The writer's name is Bo Brack. B-O Brack. One of the great names.
Bo Brack?
Yeah, Bo Brack.
Oh, we love Bo Brack
yeah,
here.
Good for you, Bo.
I've never heard of Bo Brack,
sweet
but
name.
That's a good name.
Yeah. All right.
Important. Names are important.
Let's close this thing out with the quarterbacks and a quarterback we love on this show, Brock Purdy.
Yes.
We got to see his head coach give him some love yesterday. Take a listen.
I think that's the talent in Brock that you can't always judge. Like, I think vision and stuff is very important and doesn't just go into, like, is he 20-20? Like, there's different types of vision of, like, looking outside wide, coming in, like, just the words I never know. But it's a big deal how your eyes see things.
When you told me we were going to go to video of Kyle Shanahan giving Brock Purdy love, I didn't know what we were going to see. I'm very comfortable with just a press conference video.
Okay. I think he was looking for peripheral vision there.
Yeah, he's just talking about Brock's vision.
What, you thought it was going to be a video of him giving him a smooch like Tommy DeVito's agent and his dad?
Just, I don't know.
Kyle Shanahan off the dock.
Yeah, Shanahan doesn't really strike me as that kind of affectionate human being. Just a guess.
You just don't know. When you said give him love, it could have meant we could have gone a million different ways.
Brock Purdy, QB5 for you, Matthew. He's got Arizona. I think your only fear in this one is that they don't pull out with a lead so early that they had to slow down with him throwing.
Yeah. Only one team allows a higher passer rating than the Arizona Cardinals as well. They're a bottom 8 pass defense over the last 4 weeks as well. And so, you know, Niners with the highest implied team total this week as well. We already talked about week 4 when he had 21.3 fantasy points against them, missed only one pass. Brock Purdy's a top 5 play this week.
Jay, next up, Matthew Stafford against the Commanders. Stafford looked great against Baltimore last week.
Yeah, he did.
And that's a real defense.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, right, is that he'd been lighting up teams like the Cardinals or whatever, and now he did it against the Ravens, who, like I said before, have the second-best pass defense in the NFL. I think the fact that Kupp looked like he did as well, to have now two elite weapons, have Kyren Williams and his gravity in the run game as well. Since Kyren Williams has been back, or really when he's played this season, they have an elite offense. This is a top-five offense in the NFL, and against the Commanders, don't expect there will be much. They won't show much respite.
No team in the NFL has allowed more passing touchdowns to opposing teams than the Washington Commanders. Again, I got nothing but bad stats about the Commanders. I got a zillion.
That's a trivia question I actually probably would have got. Right. They probably would have been my first guess.
Four of the last four quarterbacks to face the Commanders have all scored at least 19 fantasy points.
Wow.
It's brutal.
Yeah, Penn State Blake, nice work. Or Damien, whoever dug that one.
I don't know.
Whoever's working overtime on the bad Commander's stats.
You know it's not me, but anyway.
I like the Rams by 6.5.
You have bad Commander stats at the top of your head. I'll give you credit for
that. I have a lot of those. But we can move on. You're starting Matthew Stafford. You have him. He's my QB6.
The next one, Jordan Love, coming off a brutal week against the Giants, but he's got the Bucs this week, Barry. So maybe a bounce back for Jordan Love?
I think so. Look, he's fourth since week three. He's fourth in the NFL in pass attempts per game, and we've talked about this. The Buccaneers are a pass funnel defense. They're actually a bottom five pass defense over the last month, and so when he's been at home in this game is in Green Bay, he's averaging over 19 fantasy points per game. I'm back in on Jordan Love. He is on the Love list. He's my QB7.
Some others receiving votes here: Geno Smith or Drew Lock. Basically, Jay, whoever plays against the Eagles comes in as QB10. They're expected to be Geno Smith right now. We talked about DK Metcalf already against that Eagles secondary.
Yep, I think Geno will have an excellent game. The Eagles have the 29th ranked pass defense in the NFL.
Russell Wilson.
Since week eight, quarterbacks that face Philly averaging over 27 fantasy points per game.
Jeez. They're no good.
Russell Wilson against the Lions. He comes in as QB11, while Matthew, it feels like they've kind of put the training wheels on Russ the second half of this season. The Lions secondary, it almost doesn't really matter.
Last four games, they're allowing the second most fantasy points per game to opposing quarterbacks, and they allow passing touchdowns at the fourth highest rate in that stretch. So the Russessence continues. I'm at QB 11. And then, of course, Nick Mullins. I actually think if you're desperate, like, Mullins could be okay.
I don't think you have to be desperate. You just have to be, like, moderately needy, and Nick Mullins shall deliver.
Or
I think
he's going to have a super flex league.
He's going to have a massive game. No Cam Taylor-Britt. Bengals defense is terrible against the pass, against the run as well, to be fair. And Justin Jefferson's going to play.
Yeah, I'm with you. Exactly.
And also, they lost, like, half of their offensive line against the Raiders, which I think contributed to their offensive struggles. Thing with Mullins as well, like, he just dropped back. He chucks it.
Yeah,
like, he chucks it. He's trying to chuck it down the field. Made some nice throws. Also should have been picked two or three times in his limited play. But I think he's going to put up stats. Yep.
You're going to win the league on the back of Nick Mullins.
That's what's going to happen.
He's really put on my mediocre team. He's really put it into place. Now I feel good. Now I've got a puncher's chance.
Just real quickly, while we're talking about playoffs, because we're all in the same league and we play the league out on Yahoo, there's a really good hint that was given to me. But, like, if you play in Yahoo and, like, you have a bye this week, which I do, what you should do is you should put all of your players on the bench. Because the way Yahoo works, and I don't like this, but it is what happens, is that if your player is not in a starting lineup and there's something happens in the game, you can drop them during the game and pick somebody up. So if somebody has, like, and we don't hope this, but if somebody over the weekend has a horrific injury, they're locked on your starting lineup. But if not, if they're just sitting on your bench, again, if you have a bye, then you can just drop them and pick somebody else that hasn't played before waivers run for next week.
That's why people watch this show. Not for our jokes and nonsense.
A little helpful hint.
Yes. Technicalities.
A little technicalities.
We'll close it out with the quarterbacks on the hate list. Tua against the Jets. I'm not going to lie here, guys. When Tyreek Hill left the game the other night, Monday Night Football against the Titans, Tua looked like a totally different player.
He did not look great. New York top five in pressure rate this season. Their corners obviously are fantastic. Since week seven, the only quarterback to score double-digit fantasy points against the Jets is Josh Allen as well. He had 7.8 points the first time they faced each other in a win that the Dolphins had. So, yeah, he's outside my top 15 this week.
Yep. Other guy on the hate list, Jared Goff, who goes up against a run funnel defense in Denver. Jared Goff also, I don't know what's wrong with him. He just seems a little bit broken at the moment, whether it's a physical ailment or he's just lost confidence. He's been really bad for a month now.
Since week five, Denver's allowed one or fewer passing touchdowns in 8 of 9 games.
Watch arguably the best game to date of the college basketball season this Saturday. Top-ranked Arizona faces off with reigning Naismith Player of the Year Zach Edey and number 3 Purdue in a matchup that could be a preview of a Final Four game later this year. The two powers tip off at 4:30 p.m. Eastern, exclusively on Peacock.
If you want to watch it, you got to watch on Peacock. Damn it.
NetCredit is here to say yes to a personal loan or line of credit when other lenders say no. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partner. NetCredit, credit to the people.
Having a teen feels like having your own live-in influencer. Somehow you know the latest makeup trend and the fact that skinny jeans are not the most flattering pants. Now it's time for you to show them what's up, thanks to Domino's. From April 22nd through April 28th, carry out as many large two-topping pizzas from Domino's as you want for only $6.99 each. And teach your kiddo that saving money and Domino's pizza will never go out of style. Carry out only. You must ask for this limited time offer. Valid 4/22 through 4/28. Tax may apply. Prices, participation, and charges may vary.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Don't forget, on DraftKings Sportsbook this season, new customers can bet $5 and pocket $150 in bonus bets instantly. Plus, all customers can get a no-sweat same-game parlay every day. Download the app and use the promo code BERRY when you sign up.
Yeah.
DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours.
It really is.
Let's jump into Last Call, and let's look at the most bet player props for Thursday Night Football, courtesy of our friends from DraftKings. Austin Eckler receiving yards over 26.5 is what the public likes, as well as his rushing yards over 46.5. Austin Eckler receptions over 3.5. Austin Eckler alternate rushing and receiving yards 75+. And then Easton Stick passing touchdowns. Good God, is this disrespectful. The public likes it under half. They don't think Easton Stick throws a touchdown tonight. Jay? The entire public is just hammering every Austin Eckler prop possible.
Eckler's gone now. The line's moved to 4.5. And obviously, I think a lot of this Eckler is because no Keenan Allen, and Eckler's the guy they've heard of.
Yep, indeed. I like over 0.5 on sadness watching this game. It is absolutely brutal. But there are reasons to enjoy it. And one of them, I agree with the public on Eckler over 26.5 receiving yards. It's now up to 29.5. Still like the over there. Things should be in the high 30s. Easton Stick targeted Eckler 5 times in the half that he was on the field. Yeah. I think it's going to be dump off city with no weapons. And Eckler, by the way, looked a lot healthier last week. Looked more explosive. So I think that he is going to be the key to this offense.
I'm going to Quentin Johnson. I'm going to take two bets here. I like over 15.5 yards for his longest reception. He's had at least a 17-yard reception in 6 of his past 8 games. They like to target him deep. He got 2 targets from Easton Stick last week. One was 22, one was 57. So both cleared him. So over longest reception at 15.5. I also like the over on 2.5 receptions. He's had 8 receptions in each of the over the last 2 weeks. So that's 4 a game. Did that math in my head.
Yes.
Don't want to brag.
Very
but so I like over 2.5 in a game in which, you know, no Keenan Allen.
Taking a long shot here, guys. Listen, Easton Stick is starting tonight. There are no rushing props for him because people don't know a lot about Easton Stick. It's chaos. So I'm going to take an anytime touchdown for Easton Stick at plus 475. He had 41 rushing touchdowns in college.
Insane.
Easton Stick.
Insane.
It's his opportunity. It's against the Raiders. I think when all hell breaks loose, this man is going to run. If he gets into the end zone, it's plus 475 tonight.
Yep. Kind of like that.
As tough of a matchup as this is football-wise, these are the games where there are betting opportunities, when there is absolute chaos. This is the best type of game to bet on.
Yeah.
So get involved.
So we like that. All right, so listen, my love-hate today is an annual column that I do every single year called Don't Look Back in Anger. It's the old song by Oasis. Apologies to that band as well. But this is like, you know, we've all made these regrettable moves that, like, you know, you think in the moment, oh, this makes sense. And then only to, you know, later in the season go like, oh, God. What have I done? So whatever bad move you have made out there, at least you haven't been as bad as these. So these were some of the worst ones I saw. I got literally thousands and thousands of entries. I poured through them. So, Steven, go ahead and start rolling some of them. So here's one. This guy traded Puka Nacua and a 2024 third for your boy, Michael Thomas,
my boy.
Jay.
Yes, my boy, who's dealing with legal issues and the IR at the moment.
Yeah.
Not great for Michael Thomas.
He didn't do much either.
He was good for 5 for 50 and no touchdowns every single week, though.
I think this guy listened to you in the preseason. Okay, so Jack says, no one has tormented me this season quite like Najee Harris, Jay.
Why are you attacking me?
I got upset and dropped him in my home league just to have to come full circle and trade for him as I desperately needed him as an RB2, and then he let me down again. So Najee Harris just torturing Jack much like he has you, Jay.
To be fair, Jack has an amazing head of hair, so I'm sure he's going to be fine.
Here's another one. So this guy dropped, I can't pronounce his name, I guess it's Josh Ratliff. He dropped Devon Achane for Zach Ertz. So, yeah, the keeper prospects of Achane, in a keeper league, he dropped Achane for Zach Ertz. That's a hard
one. Oh, this is a nightmare.
Yeah, so at Johnny B-Ball 5, dropped Kieran Williams to grab Graham Gano. He dropped Kieran Williams for a kicker.
Leave your leagues that still have kickers.
To be fair, there was no difference between Kieran Williams and, like, Ronnie Rivers at that time. So you're okay there. Just didn't work out.
Think about how much that much torture you. What's the next one here? Look, some of these are brutal, right? Here's another one. So Luke Giardi was number one on the waiver wire after week one. Was either going to pick up Joshua Kelly or Kyren Williams because of the Eckler injury. I went Kelly. That one is going to haunt me for a long time. I don't blame you.
Should.
That one. Here's another one. I paid, Kieran McCloskey says, I paid $22 fab for Gainwell and dropped DeAndre Swift after week one.
That didn't pay off the way you hoped.
No, it
maybe
certainly
with his PhD can resuscitate his season.
Okay. So Johnny Tapia says he dropped Devon Achane for Cameron Dicker.
The kicker.
For Dicker the kicker. Yeah, so there are more in my column on rotoworld.com where, of course, Love Hate is posted for week 15 for free. It's closing time. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. Good luck if you're still in the playoffs. For Jay Connor, I'm Matthew. We all drink free for night. If I'm still employed, I'll see you tomorrow. Peace out.
Having a team feels like having your own live-in influencer. Somehow you know the latest makeup trend and the fact that skinny jeans are not the most flattering pants. Now it's time for you to show them what's up, thanks to Domino's. From April 22nd through April 28th, carry out as many large two-topping pizzas from Domino's as you want, for only $6.99 each. And teach your kiddo that saving money and Domino's pizza will never go out of style. Carry out only. You must ask for this limited time offer. Valid 4/22 through 4/28. Tax may apply. Prices, participation, and charges may vary.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.